LeBron's the GOAT.
Shut up, idiot.
Hello, everybody. This is like the first episode in a while because we've had all the interviews that we've had like an actual formal intro and everything. Zach and Quinn, the Bench Warmers, we're back at it again. We have a very exciting, I wouldn't call anything we do an interview, and we're not really asking anything hard hitting. We're just chatting. It's like everybody's getting a little insight into what like a, I feel like it, if we're in any other setting, if we're just sitting at Big Irv's, bellied up and having a beer, this is how we talk with the guys we've had on. But we had Cody Mauch, a guy who's just shooting up draft boards, turning heads, mainly because of how he looks, but also how he plays football. But one of my good buddies, obviously an offensive lineman, and he's just we're really excited for him. I think he's the guy who'll probably get drafted highest this year. So it's going to be exciting in the next few months, but you'll hear that in a little bit. First, Quinn, what do you think of Pro Bowl weekend?
I think if they, I appreciate them trying the flag football, and I don't think it was that bad. I
mean, no.
It looked like the guys were having fun too. Like they weren't, you know, it was a flag football game. So kind of, but I would not be like disappointed if that just wasn't a thing. They just do an entire Saturday, do the Pro Bowl games. It ends with dodgeball.
Yeah, and
bring back more events. You have to bring back more events. Like you have to. I liked the sled pull thing that they did. Yeah. That was sweet.
Yeah,
like that's something new, innovative. I think they need to bring back longest throw.
Yeah,
have to do it.
Yeah.
Have to do the quarterback accuracy challenge like they did.
Yep.
Have to do like the running back challenges they used to do, where they like go through the pads, go over them, all that stuff for like the NBA skills challenge.
Yeah,
like what like that. They need to do that for like skill guys, like wide receivers and running backs.
But I don't need to see like what's it, Joel Batonio like running through a foam wall.
Sure.
I just don't need
right.
It. So that's
also,
my thing.
Also the catch contest was weird too, because that's hard.
Yeah.
So like
how do you judge
I wouldn't
the best catch?
Yeah, I wouldn't I'm trying to think of an event they could do besides best catch. Maybe they just do
I have the answer for you.
Okay, what is it?
I want to do like the positional skill stuff, right? All the quarterback challenge, the like agility, that stuff. Larry Allen highlighted a bench press contest.
Yeah.
From the old lineman, D lineman. That'd be fun. But to replace that, just do like horse with footballs, like throws and trick shots and things like that. Like
sure.
When all the fall camp.
So dude perfect.
Yeah. When all, yeah. Bro, sweet. Shout out PMT. When they release those fall camp videos or training camp videos of each quarterback room facing each other, trying to throw it into the corner, into the garbage can, it's always one of the more entertaining things.
Yeah, and like I think they can make anything look like super competitive. Here's how I think it should work. If you want guys to, they need to bring back fastest man too.
Yeah.
Like they need to. And it's going to be hard. Fastest man and bench press are the hard ones because that's when guys could actually get hurt.
Yeah.
So here's what you do to incentivize them.
Money.
Each guy on the winning team, so the NFC this week got like 40 grand. Keep that the same. Winning team, each person gets 40 grand. Each competition within the Olympic Games should be worth like 10 or 15.
Yeah. So you're competing against the dude to win and you get money.
Yes.
But also, make it flat 50K from each conference that comes, because then it's guys 50K to these guys is nothing. But it's like they're more incentivized to like not let Tyler Huntley coming to the Pro Bowl happening.
Yeah.
And then whatever conference wins gets 100K, another 50.
Yeah.
That moves the needle a little bit for guys.
I don't think the NFL will let them like publicly announce that kind of money.
Yeah.
So I think it's more likely them to do 50K to each person on the winning team of the Pro Bowl games. And then each contest within the games, the winner of each contest individually, that individual gets like 10 or 15.
I want to see these guys play other sports.
That's interesting.
I like
a softball game.
The long drive. I like softball, kickball. I want to see 3-point competition. I want to see a dunk contest.
A softball home run derby and a dunk contest.
A home run derby, absolutely.
Yeah.
I guess you'd have to host it somewhere where there's a baseball team. They could play at UNLV or whatever. But I want to see them play other sports.
Well, a lot of the professional teams, too, have like
in Vegas, sure.
No, I'm sorry. A lot of the like a lot of professional teams, if you wanted to like a lot of like cities that have like a baseball and a football team, I don't want to say a lot, but there's definitely some that are like right next to each other.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. You don't want to have the Pro Bowls in Kansas City.
Why'd they gloss over the long drive? That was the one I was kind of excited to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked was it pre-taped too?
Yeah, and it was like choppy. Yeah. I want to see these guys like I want to see whoever it was hit it 90 yards out of bounds, but I also want to see the guy win it on the last drive with a 320-yard drive.
Yeah.
No, let them play other sports. Yeah. And it's too dangerous. You'll never see a 3-on-3 tournament.
Basketball game,
that'd be so sick. Yeah. But they won't do it. I think you could do shooting stuff as far as like 3-point contests or horse.
Clay pigeons?
Yeah. Skeet shooting? That'd be kind of funny. I like the aspect of Peyton and Eli. They're kind of corny, dude, but they're entertaining.
Peyton was sweating.
Yeah.
And he was so pissed.
And Eli won. The best. Yeah. And Peyton had like call sheets and play names and everything. You knew he was just going to go hard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought they were okay. I wasn't that upset with anything they really did. I think it's definitely a starting point to what they can be.
Yeah, but are we going to sit here and pretend like the Pro Bowl was entertaining when they played football? It wasn't.
It's not. And it's the weirdest thing because it's the only all-star game in professional sports that's not in the middle of the season.
Yeah, correct. And that's what
Tyreek Hill means nothing.
Tyreek Hill made that point.
Yeah.
And he's like, if we're going to do these games, why not put it in the middle of the season? Then I can go have 4 full months of doing nothing until I have to do football stuff.
Right.
The only other notable thing that happened in sports in the last 2 weeks, besides the championship games, whatever, however this timeline works.
The chosen one.
Shout out to LeBron for his participation trophy. He showed up and got the attendance record. And, you know, he didn't go to college. I don't think that's something that we should celebrate. But, you know, he didn't. he had all these years ahead. And, of course, you play for this long, you're going to have the scoring record. I won't talk about how, like, Kareem didn't have a 3-point line most of his career or anything like that, but I guess congratulations on
Bron doesn't make the rules. He just makes history.
Bron stinks.
Goat.
I'm completely unbiased, and I have
You weren't even alive to watch MJ play. This is weird.
What are you talking about, MJ?
Love MJ.
I have no affinity to anybody in this conversation, but it's a Mickey Mouse goat. That's what he is. You know, he's good for the TikTok generation. People like you, you know, all the flashy dunks and cool stuff. And
China loves him.
He loves China. You know, that is what it is. But if that's the guy you want to celebrate,
if you want to crown him, crown him.
I love Michael Jordan. Has never done anything that wasn't above board. Has only been exemplary in his A-plus character.
He's a model citizen, Michael Jordan.
In his entire life.
Yeah. Definitely not a sociopath.
No, you have to be to win. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, Tom Brady retired too. Who is the GOAT?
Yeah, he's going to be making an OnlyFans pretty soon too.
Yeah, I mean, he put it out there for free.
Yeah.
On Twitter. I mean, guy's going to get over Giselle pretty quick, I think.
I mean, we act like it hasn't happened already.
Yeah. He's the GOAT.
Who, Tom?
Yeah.
That's a hilarious debate that happened too.
When, yeah, like, because all you the get old these heads, PFF weirdos, all the old
heads
like
came
Ross.
Out. All the old heads came out and were like, well, I don't know if he's better than Montana. I don't know if he was better than Montana.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Dan Orlovsky putting Mahomes tattoo is nuts.
Hilarious by Dan. Also, yeah. Dilfer. What are we doing, buddy?
I was going to talk about Dilfer.
I don't even want to spend that much time on
it. No, and he basically said, for those that don't know, is that what Aaron Rodgers, what this era of quarterbacks is doing isn't impressive.
Yeah,
I get what he's saying in the fact that, like, he got his head ripped off and you could, like, stranglehold receivers back then. Those guys that he mentioned were playing when Trent Dilfer was playing.
Yeah.
In that era.
Yeah, Tom won 3 Super Bowls before 2005. Like,
yeah, and, like, it's just, like, it's if I got on here and, like, made fun of someone for not playing at NDSU.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the 30 for 30. It was phenomenal, by the way. The Baltimore Bullies or whatever it was called.
That D-tag. So funny.
Siragusa. Yeah. He's the man. Buto-esque. But
He looks like Joey Diaz's character.
Yeah.
On Longest Yard.
Yeah, but they didn't score an offensive touchdown for like 5 weeks, and they went 4-1. Trent Dilfer, you are not the authority to be sitting here calling everybody.
Yeah.
By the way, did you watch the 30 for 30?
Did not.
Dude, they touched on the Ray Lewis thing.
Really?
I didn't think they were going to.
Interesting.
But they like went through it, and obviously it's objectively they're coping for Ray. Yeah. I was 2 years old or 1 year old.
That happened the year of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I don't know what happened. But I know
he killed someone.
I gathered that Ray was a snitch.
He killed someone.
He was an informant and got his plea deal, basically, is what
he killed someone.
I don't know if he did. I'm not going to make that claim. Quinn can all he wants. But, you know, that's typical of Quinn to sit in the guilty until proven innocent camp. Yeah. Yeah, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Don't need to hear anything from Trent Dilfer. And LeBron would have been like Craig Elo in 1987. He wouldn't have played. How do we feel?
I don't even care about basketball enough to try to get into a fake argument.
Yeah, I just know I'm pissing people off right now.
For sure.
And I know, like...
Especially when I rewatch the Jordan doc.
Don't blah, blah, blah me.
Especially when I rewatch the Jordan doc and just look at the dudes he was playing against.
The toughest competition there's ever been in basketball.
Okay.
You couldn't score on Kyle Kuzma with his sweater dragging on the floor?
No, but his last outfit, that vest thing that he wore...
I don't know.
Oh, I got to show you. It's probably the funniest jacket.
I can't wait to get the angry text from Ross because we called him out on the pod again. What did he get mad about last time? Oh, Sean Payton. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sean Payton is now a Denver Bronco. Yeah. Colts have not hired a head coach yet.
It's going to be Jeff Saturday.
God.
And the story that Josh McDaniels told that he didn't go to the Colts because Ursay was taking like 2.5 hour long bathroom breaks. Bananas. Oh my God. Quinn just showed me Kyle Kuzma's.
Look up Kyle Kuzma black jacket. It is incredible. It's like three life jackets. He's definitely not gonna drown anywhere if he wears that.
Who's your quarterback goat?
My quarterback goat? Mm-hmm. Well, it is actually dumb if you don't say Tom.
Yeah, and you can have the conversation for most talented and best arm talent. Those are two different conversations.
Yeah, that conversation I feel like is Rodgers.
Yeah, I think he's up there.
I
think Rodgers like top three.
Yeah. No, but like the things Rodgers did from like 2010
but then
to...
you can have that conversation and argue about Rodgers and Marino. Like, yeah. I didn't watch Marino.
So I didn't watch Marino, but it is crazy that like quarterbacks now break records that Marino had back then.
Yeah.
It's like that's like when football was like, we are gonna run the ball 50 times a game. The fact that Marino set those records then.
He was running for like 5,300 yards in like 1989.
Yeah. Marino must have been an alien, which is weird just because he was on the one undefeated team? Or was he not?
No.
That was way before him.
That's in like the 70s.
Was he like born in 73?
No. No, but he wasn't on the undefeated Dolphins team.
Yeah.
He never won a Super Bowl. Dan didn't.
Are we ever going to have an undefeated team ever again? I don't think we will.
I thought the Eagles were going to do it genuinely this year. And I think they might have had a shot if they didn't have to play Gardner Minshew.
Oh, that's true. Because what are they ended the year 14-2?
Yeah.
And the two starts was the Washington loss.
Yep.
When Minshew started. Or no, Hurts was starting that game.
Yeah.
That was just a bad game by them.
Yes.
Yeah. So they hiccuped. They hiccuped against the Commanders.
The fact that Dante Culpepper, Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Vikings team didn't go undefeated is bananas.
Or the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean, them losing.
Hated them, and I celebrated the Giants winning.
Yeah.
Now I look back, I wish like they could have capped off that insane season.
I feel the same way. I think this is what happens when you get older, too. Like, as a kid, I hated Kobe Bryant because like I was such a Celtics fan.
How do you feel now? Asshole. You would be a Celtics fan and hate Kobe.
No, that's why I like don't have like hate for Tom because it's like
They pass a barrier.
Yeah, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
And, like, Kobe was one of – basketball so hard. Yeah. Not really, because it's the only debate is Michael and LeBron.
And objectively now, how do you say it's not LeBron?
It's tough. I mean
– he won the titles in multiple places.
Yeah.
And he has a scoring record.
It is so weird that they won that did you forget, like me, that they won the COVID title? In the bubble?
No, that's where the Mickey, that's like, so weird. Love Mickey comes from.
Because he has 4 now.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think he's 4-7 or 4-6.
Yeah, because it's 10 trips, right? I think it's 4-6. Yeah. No, it's 4-7.
Yeah.
Because I think it was 3-7 after he lost again to Golden State.
Sure.
How about that run? Okay, if people that, like, actual LeBron haters, I get it. Like, whatever. If you go back and look at all those finals he had against the Warriors, that's the most basketball I've ever watched, and it was solely because I wanted to see LeBron carry Matthew Dellavedova through an NBA Finals against Klay
and Tristan and Steph.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it's,
those teams stunk.
And, like, I don't know. I don't know.
The Warriors assembled the Avengers. Yeah. It's the three of the best offensive players in that era.
Yeah.
On the same team.
And then they brought KD.
Who was the third? Draymond?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Iguodala.
Have you seen the Max Kellerman? He's like
Andre Iguodala.
He's like, if there's a laser beam pointing on Earth and I need someone to make a three final
shot, yeah,
to save the planet,
I'm choosing Andre Iguodala.
Dude. So funny.
And that was in front of, like, a live crowd.
I think Stephen A. almost fell out of his chair.
he's like, oh my God.
The next 2 points, I think LeBron's the GOAT. Last night, like, secured it in my brain. Kyrie, at what point does it become a diminishing return? Do you where does this, like, savior complex come from, these owners that thinks they can like rein him in?
I don't know, but I'm excited to watch him and Luka.
It was funny that, like, people acting that, like, he's not good at basketball anymore.
And the tough thing about people that hate LeBron too, I think he's fourth all time in assists.
Yeah.
Which is also,
and,
like,
and he's up there in boards.
Yeah, which is also insane. Yeah. Like, the assist is even crazier than the boards.
Yeah.
The fact that you're the all-time leading scorer in the NBA and you're fourth in assist.
Yeah.
Usually got a pick.
Yeah.
Like, and I get it. Like, obviously he's not even close if he plays the same amount of years as Jordan. And, like, maybe Jordan, obviously, like, I don't, how many points does Jordan have?
He's farther down the list.
Is he in the 30s?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Like 1,000 points.
Because obviously, I didn't know. But obviously, if he doesn't play baseball for those 18 months, and then if he doesn't
gamble on, on NBA games.
If he decides to play for someone else other than Phil after 97, 98, like, he probably could have had the scoring record.
Yeah.
But, like,
it was just a different era.
Not LeBron's fault.
Yeah.
Like, not LeBron's fault that he was called the chosen one and then has literally been
That's the bigger thing, is nobody has ever lived up to their hype.
He's been with the same girl LeBron has entire life. Like,
like, extramarital,
not even
drama.
Not even a sniff.
No.
In 2023.
Yeah.
And he has never once had, like, a picture,
yeah,
a text leak, anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's incredible.
It is incredible. And it's like the Kris Jenner thing, like, the devil works hard, but LeBron James works harder, like, to, like, maintain his prowess in society. But just, like, there were people, and I guess you could say Tiger, kind of, like, living up to his hype, but he had such a down period when he was down. LeBron's never been down.
Never, dude.
And he looks like he can play for 5 more years. He said, and in the interview,
I think he wants to play with Bronny.
He wants to play with Bronny. And I think
he said he would go anywhere.
He said play with or against.
Oh, well, against is a cop-out answer, because you'll play against him.
He'll do what, like, can you imagine him being like a
Portland Trailblazer?
That'd be sick with
a Sacramento King.
If he's what's the most obscure? An Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh, yeah, by the way, you break the scoring record against the 12-48. Oklahoma City Thunder. Congrats, yeah, Bron.
No, I want to see him in a CLT jersey. That would be awesome.
You know what he really needs
probably
to do?
Probably the most problematic thing he's ever done.
You know what? To really, like, just kill the haters, you know what he needs to do? He needs to get Bronny drafted by the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah.
And he needs to win a chip in Chicago.
Wearing 23.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
I loved LeBron until he left Cleveland. Like, I was a Cavs fan because of LeBron, and he just ripped my heart out.
Him going back to Cleveland and winning a championship is incredible, though. Yeah. I think it saved his legacy a little bit.
Cleveland!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly think it saved a little bit of, like, and like he cares about what anyone like really thinks about him, especially like me and you. But just like the normal person, when he went back to Cleveland, I think everyone was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then when he won it, it was like, oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Because it was after the Warriors had won. Was that their 82-9 year, whatever that is, 72-9?
Yeah. 73-9.
73-9? Yeah. 82 games. Right. Yeah. It'll be weird. What if Bronny gets drafted by the Cavs? Does he go back there for a third stint?
I think he'd
be easy.
I think he would play.
Yeah.
And
he could just be player coach.
He might as well. Like, I think he Jackie is Moon. Just the GM acting for the Lakers.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah. But they
he's
stink.
He's not a great GM.
They stink. Obviously. And he's like, get rid of all of your picks and give me who I think will win this year. And they never do.
Yeah. So. I just saw a picture, a bad time in Lakers history. It was D'Angelo Russell. Yeah. Someone else and Julius Randle and Luke Walton was the head coach.
Oh, gross.
Luke Walton was the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. I think that was back like when Bron won the championship with Cleveland, like back 2015, 16-ish.
Yeah. I feel bad for Russell Westbrook. It's just his fall off has made me sad, but yeah. He seems to like be rolling with it. I think he just stinks now.
Yeah.
That's your yearly Ben Farmers
for basketball
talk. There was one more thing I wanted to ask about, but I can't remember.
Coach Crutchley.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep.
The new wide receivers coach.
Yep. I'm excited.
Yeah, dude. He knows Entz knows him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's gonna bring in anyone that I get it. It's a small percentage of the fans, but it's like, why are we getting a UND guy?
Yeah. This is the same thing about Petrino.
Yeah.
It's like,
vroom, vroom.
Guy, shut up. Guy has shut down Andy's new offenses for 5 years now.
Yeah.
However long he is there.
Time will tell with the coaches. And I don't know, like, people don't realize, we still got to have a talk with Blas about what went through his head to go from Rutgers to NDSU. Because that's actually crazy.
Yeah,
and that is an outlier situation. He did not get canned at Rutgers.
No, he left.
He left.
Well,
he canned NDSU.
I think he was one of the guys jumping off a sinking ship.
A little bit. But still, I mean, he could have played 2019 and gotten those Big Ten checks.
Yeah, and I remember vividly getting the call from T-Roll. He's like, I can't tell you yet. I talked to all the guys. It's a big-time hire.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, who is it? And never heard of AJ Blazek, and now my life has never been the same since I met the guy.
I'm wearing my Vandy sweatshirt right now.
Shout out, Vandy. Shout out.
Hell yeah.
I think they're doing something.
Hopefully.
It's tough that they're in the SEC.
Also tough that their quarterback transferred to another SEC school.
Yeah. But
I think he went to Old Mississippi State.
We have been addicted to PFF mock drafts. My camera roll is all screenshots of those to send them to you.
Yeah.
And none of it's going to happen. We're going to get our heart broken.
It's so fun, though.
It is.
Yeah.
Trying to get A pluses and things that actually make sense. If you need to burn some time, go on PFF mock draft.
Yeah. I don't really have anything else.
Me either. We're going to head in now to our Cody Mauch interview chat session for an hour and a half. He was very, very courteous with his time.
When you are listening to this, go to our social medias and give us a retweet, quote tweet. Whatever you can to get the word out on
just quote tweet it
pods,
with
so
just quote tweet it with your favorite your five favorite Super Bowl foods.
Yeah, I like it. Or just list them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Subscribe and resubscribe.
But retweet. Yeah.
Unsubscribe.
And then resubscribe.
We appreciate y'all. Here's Cody.
Go Bison.
All right. Joining us now, quite possibly one of my favorite teammates of all time. Favorite humans just to be around. Quinn, a guy I would describe as a rising star, like a meteoric rise. And the coolest part is that everybody is just learning about the guy that we've known for years. And we are joined by Cody Mauch. Cody, couldn't be more excited to have you on. Thanks for joining the Benchwarmers, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Good to talk to you.
Number 3 from Hankinson, number 1 in your heart.
Pirate forever.
Yeah. Before we go too far back, tell us about the Senior Bowl week. How was that? I guess, what were your biggest takeaways, and what's something you think you'll kind of cherish for the rest of your life?
Yeah, it was a fun week. It was a really long week. Like, the schedule is, it's pretty crazy. You know, there's, so we interviewed with all 32 teams, and, you know, it's like, we had 16 teams one night, 16 teams another night. So it's like a 15-minute rotation.
It's like speed.
So whatever,
meeting.
16 times 15 is, you know, it was like 4 hours long of, jeez, like, just interview. And it's, you know, you're saying the same thing over and over, and you have to just have, you know, excitement for all of them. But I mean, I was fine with that. Like, it was fun. Like, you're up late, you're up early, but you're playing football. Like, it was fun for me. I was happy. I was able to play, you know, I was able to play all five spots there, which, you know, I've never played center. Those were my first live reps. And, you know, I thought I played, you know, decent too, and showed a lot of versatility. But it was a fun week. Met a lot of cool people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like I mentioned earlier, like, in everybody's just getting to know what we've known. This is Cody. Like, this isn't like some front you're putting up. You have the belly hanging out, first one out. You walk like a goofball. You run like a silly goose. I guess going into, like, I talked to Nash, is how I'm going to preface this, and he was at the NFLPA Bowl. And he just said same thing. It was just late nights, early mornings. Do you think that's like a stress test kind of thing to, like, see how you handle that pressure? Or is it just the fact that they only have a week to get all that stuff in?
I think it's kind of both. Like, they kind of put you through a rigorous schedule to see how you can handle it. And also just they only get 6-7 days with you, so they got to maximize their time. But I think it's a little bit of both.
How was playing center, by the way?
It wasn't, you know, the worst thing ever. It definitely made me appreciate the centers I've had throughout my career. But I had been snapping a lot, like, after practices and stuff, and I was definitely happy I did that, because, like, I knew maybe there was a chance when I got through this process I would have to play center. And so having that, because, like, I get up there the first time I'm playing center, and, you know, you go through your normal, like, pre-snap checks and stuff. You're like, all right, so that guy's the mic, my combo's there, I'm going to use this technique, and then I'm like, oh, shoot, I have to snap the ball too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you moving inside is really intriguing to me, and I kind of pounded the table for a while that you're a tackle. And it's not because you can't move inside. You proved this week that you can move inside, but I think you're almost like in that Rado versus the Cordell conversation of, like, I want to see him use his athletic talent inside, but I think it's something – that you're using to your advantage, the versatility inside, the athleticism. I think that play strength will come along, but it had to have been a little weird. Like you said, moving in, things happen a little faster.
Yeah, dude, they get on, you know, they're big guys, and they're also really quick guys too. And everything is just on you so fast. You have to get your steps in the ground fast. Like, everything just gets cranked up a little bit, you know, especially just the playing speed too, from going from, you know, nothing against FCS guys. Like, the top FCS guys, like, there's some really good talent there, but it's just more consistent, I think, with, like, guys at the Senior Bowl, the SEC, the Pac-12, like, those guys, like, everyone's just consistently fast and strong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you could remember, who do you think was the best? I mean, other than yourself, I guess, who were you impressed with on the offensive line, either your side or their side? And then what about D-line? Who are you really impressed by?
You know, I think that Ohio State tackle, he was just a freak.
DeJuan Jones?
Like, he's just huge. Yes.
Oh.
He's just so big.
We're obsessed with him.
Yeah.
He's just like,
yeah.
It's just Cody, like, I feel like he's such a good athlete too for his size. And, like, when you are, I mean, is he all of 6'8", 380 that he's listed at?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Oh, that's so crazy. I love it.
Yeah, Cody, I just want to, like, preface the next 3 months of how annoying Quinn and I are going to be, like, with fake mock drafts and things like this. We want you to be a Charger because we love you, but we don't want you to be a Charger because we love you. We just can't put you through that sacrifice. Yeah. That being said, if you get picked up by them, we'll buy the jerseys, but DeJuan Jones, 6'8", 380. Come to L.A., buddy.
And being able to see it too, like, in person, you know, the first thing we did was like one-on-one run blocking, and how are you supposed to, like, how are you supposed to get through that guy?
Yeah. Seems like he's a silly huge. Drill.
Okay, so that's another thing I want to ask you about. Obviously, like anyone that played at NDSU, and I'm sure everywhere else, the one of the worst drills that like one of the worst drills for O-line and D-linemen are one-ons, and they're for different reasons. Because like especially like non-padded ones. Obviously, you guys were padded this week, but it just looked like you guys did one-on-ones all week. Is that basically what it was for, like, besides the team periods?
Yeah, it really was. It was, like, a couple, like, a period or two of indie, and then it was, you know, 15, 20 minutes of one-ons and then team.
That's so tough because I was looking, too. Your guys' splits were, like, 3 yards apart. Yeah. I was, like, looking, and I was like, bring those splits down. Come on, baby.
You're not getting any help from the guys on the side of you. Yeah. It's they're all out of – I think I saw one of you at left guard, Cody, and the left tackle was just standing, like, parallel to the line of scrimmage, like, 5 feet away. They, like – I suppose they don't want, like, feet tangled and stuff like that, but when you're doing it at NDSU, at least you could lean on Jalen if he's playing center or something.
Yeah,
like
you
that.
Get a little sideboard from a tackle or something if the D-tack tries to run too wide. But
I think that's bullshit too. Stay out of the drill. Tackles. Shut stay up. Out of the drill.
It's already a defensive drill.
When it's you
run and pass, like both of them are like just so tailored for the defense. It's tough.
Yeah, the only way it's not really tailored to the D line is when we do them like during the summer or during like spider days.
Yeah.
But what when you had to go through and do all those interviews with all the 32 teams, did every conversation start out asking you about your teeth?
Yeah, it was either asking about the teeth or asking about like my weight progression. But every single team asked about the teeth or made some joke about the teeth.
You know that's gonna be a thing for as long as you play, like forever.
I'm sure it will be, and I think I have to welcome that fact just with the way that I like. You know, advertise my no teeth. Like, I kind of embrace it. And I think you just have to be okay with people talking about it all the time.
Now, there were some reports online that Carter shot down immediately. You won't be fixing your teeth until you're done playing completely. Is that correct?
Yeah, I might not even ever get them fixed. I don't even know.
That's true.
I'm definitely not going to get them fixed until I'm done playing, at least.
Well, you know, I won't go into too many stories. This is for off the podcast, but I've seen you lose 3 or 4 pairs of the slip-ins. Yeah. So I get why you just rock them without them.
Yeah, like you said, it was I was losing them for you know different reasons, not to be named here, but and then also I'm just like I kind of like the way I look, like it's just kind of like embodies my personality, I think.
Yeah,
it happened in high school, right? Basketball game.
Yeah, it was like 7th grade basketball game.
Oh geez, I didn't know it was that early.
Yeah,
it was.
It's the same kind of situation. I obviously went to school with and played with Brandon Metz, and he had a busted nose from all his years in wrestling. And he's like, if I get it fixed one more time and it breaks, I cannot fix it again. So he was kind of waiting for all that stuff to end. And that's kind of how I describe your situation.
It is. Yeah.
So hometown Ulysses is Hankinson, correct? But you're from Matador, right? Like on the map?
Yeah, I guess I have a Hankinson address, but I'm closer to Matador.
So are you on the race to fight the Volsons and Drake Animus to have a higher percentage of the population in the NFL?
I guess we are.
Do you think there's a younger Malk that could be coming up? Do you think Carter puts the pads back on?
I think he still got some eligibility left. Only played a year at Mary, so he could.
I would love to see Carter walk on and play fullback or something, even though he did I do love me some Carter Malk, and he tore his ACL coaching girls basketball. So.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously, well, not obviously. People that don't know me and Cody actually played football. Was it all 4 years against each other? I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
I think the regions changed once, so maybe it wasn't like. Well, no, because you're a year younger, so it probably was like my sophomore through senior year. We were in the same region in 9-man football. It's kind of weird. Sometimes I go back and forth, and I like when I think of Cody Malk, I think of like who you are now, but sometimes I just think of like the 6'4", 200 pound number 3 that played like middle linebacker weirdly. when you got to NDSU and all that, like obviously the 9-man football is one thing. And I mean, I'm sure you probably went through a phase like I did where it's like you came here and like went through one practice and you were just like, Jesus, like did I even play football the last 4 years? Like, does that even count as the same game? But when you got here and those pounds started adding on, Like, what went through your mind?
I mean, I didn't really know, like, well, yeah. So I think I was 220 coming in, and I knew the weight was going to come on, you know, relatively easy because, I mean, number one, I was a 6'5", 220 pound, like, tight end. That's not like, if you're 6'5", you're going to be heavier than that, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we were a 9-man school. Our weight room was in a small corner in the gym on the stage. Like, we didn't have the best weight program at Hankinson. So
that's
when
shocking.
I was actually able to go, yeah, right. When I was actually able to go with Kramer and, like, actually lift weights and actually, like, pay attention to my diet and the weight kept coming, I'm like, yeah, it's coming on really easy. And it kept coming on easy all the way up to, like, 260.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is just not good. Like, I got to chill out a little bit.
I remember that I think there was, like, 5 or 6 of us local kids who reported with Kramer early before all the summer kids came from off campus. And I remember you just showing up in, like, dirty jeans and boots from, like, driving the truck all day. I'm like, oh, man, what is this kid doing? And then here you are, second or first rounder. My only athletic – well, I have two, actually. I take that back. My only athletic encounter with Cody before NDSU was Quartz Plus. I just joined a random team because they needed a guy, and – we're playing Hankinson. I'm like, all right, let's go. We're like some little farm kids. And I immediately went to the post, tried to hit a turnaround, and was immediately sent into the sixth row by a buzz-cutted ginger. And I'm like, what is going on? Where did this come from? I think I went and sat on the bench after that. I'm like, I don't need any more of this. And then even more embarrassing, you and I were both a part of one of the last Mondak Bowl games where we we effectively got blown out 65-0. I think you are our only source of offense, but when you throw four pick sixes in the first half, it makes things pretty tough.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was brutal. And, you know, like all week we're pumping ourselves up like, oh, it doesn't matter who, like, we got them, you know, we got them. And then we go and we get like 70 bombed. It was, that was tough.
Yeah. And then we like get back to Dickinson from wherever the game was in Montana, and I have to drive all the way back home. It was not
great. That was the worst. At least if we could drive back with a win or like some form of dignity, but no, it was
65-0. That's not bad. Like we lost on a last second field goal. Cody, we actually played two NFLers in that game, I think. Troy Anderson was on that football team.
My God.
And then there's a receiver I want to say is with the Seahawks that was also on that football team. So I don't feel too bad about it.
No, they had like 18 D1 kids and we had what, like 3, and 2 of them were walk-ons.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When you started gaining weight and like you said, you got to like 260. I mean, I remember Kramer jokes to guys. Cause like, I remember he said it to Gindy probably around the same time as you were both gaining weight there. It was like, hey, like the joke is always like for the skill guys or the, what did they call linebackers, tight ends and everything?
Mid-skill.
Yeah, bigger mid-skill. Like, they always say, like, hey, you know, you're going to be a tackle next. Like, when when you started getting up to, like, 260, 270, was it like a, oh, shit, like, they're actually going to move me? And, like, did you try at some point to, like, eat less, or did you just, like, embrace and just say, screw it, I'll move to O-line, I guess?
Yeah, like, the talks, like, you know, the jokes always came from Kramer and, like, Coach Riley, too, who was, you know, the O-line coach at the time, like, he was always joking about it, too, how I'm going to end up in his room, like, every, you know, the week, for a lot of people who don't know, like, the week after a victory at NDSU, like, the coaches' wives or, you know, they'll make treats for us, like, that Thursday after the win, and Coach Riley would always save me a treat, even though I'm a tight end, just kind of, like, as a joke, but, like when it actually didn't become a joke was the first spring ball when I'm doing tight end stuff. And then all of a sudden Coach Riley's like, hey, come over here and take some one-on-one pass throw.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah,
like, this is not a joke anymore. Like, yeah, this isn't good.
That's the classic. Like when they want a DN to take reps at D tackle or something, they're like, oh, it's already done, buddy. Like you're just yep, fighting time now.
Well, like Costner was the other one too.
Yeah.
Costner, I think it was either your guys's freshman year. Cause like Tangway was a senior, and Koss came back from Thanksgiving like 12 pounds over, and it was Koss, you're gonna have to you're gonna be holding on for dear life, but you're absolutely being a D-tack in a year from now. But so were you fully O-line fall of 2018?
That summer. So yeah, that fall, that was my first, I was dang near a rookie again, just learning a whole new playbook. And
so that's what I was going to bring up. The clip that is probably ingrained in everyone's mind from O-line is it TP? Is he the one? The clip of TP and you during the one-ons when he just...
I might tweet that out when this...
absolutely bull rushes you. But the funniest part is that Coach Riley captioned it like, sorry, Cody, my fault.
He wrote at the top, this is my bad.
I can't remember. I can't remember how far along that was in the year, if it was early or late, but when stuff like that starts to happen and you just move positions, are you just thinking Jesus, is this ever going to work?
Oh, absolutely. It's a tough transition because learning a new spot, but also learning O-line at NDSU, how important that is to the program, to you know what that means, and it's a lot to live up to. And those reps happen to everyone. Everyone gets got. But yeah, well, that was funny because he told me his coaching – I don't remember if it was something with my punch or what I was doing.
I think it was hands. Right? I think he wanted you to fake and grab the shoulders or something.
Like the Bakhtiari, the hug move.
Yeah.
just in the middle of it, and TP put his face mask in your chest.
Yeah, and then
I took it the wrong way. Yeah, I took it the wrong way, and I just didn't even punch him. So I'm going to pass for him, and he bull rushes me, and I have no punch.
And then it's TP saw you give that coaching point, C. Riles. He knows what to expect from the punch. It's not going to be crossbody. It's not going to be single hand inside. He knows he's going to – the chest will be available. And he just – you were parallel with the ground. I've never seen a human that large move like that.
Yeah, Kramer still chirps me about that one.
Yeah, Kramer probably does keep that stuff in the memory bank because he just watches.
Oh, yeah.
That one's very funny. And you have the personality to make it funny. Probably the funnier one is when Cordell got pancaked by Will Mostart during their freshman year. Because Cordell's do you remember that one?
I don't know.
Oh, it was Will Mostart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cordell got pancaked too. He doesn't listen to this anyway, so he won't know. But that one's also funny because he was just pissed.
Cody, that it was an actual race to see who was going to be heavier, but the best hands on the team, the best athlete, stayed at tight end and Noah Gindorf, and you got moved. So what does that say about your brand trotting around saying you're best hands on the team?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't help the brand at all. I think you got to look at that tight end room that we had coming in.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good class of guys we had. I think we had five guys come in, and me and Koss both ended up moving to different positions and having a little bit of success there. But Gindy and Babo also, that's two pretty good tight ends to come in with as well.
Two absolute aliens, and I think if Costner stayed at fullback, he would have set the record for most helmets broken of opposing teams.
Oh, absolutely.
I would have just...
He was playing D-line, but he has a fullback mentality anyways.
Yeah, I would have just kept him at... I would have just kept him at fullback. Screw it. Just have a Pat Ricard, a 290 fullback.
Yeah.
So the other funny anecdote is you got moved to D-end for a second in that fall camp. Was that just an injury thing? Because you were a school guy, right? You weren't a fall camp guy, and then... somebody got hurt. Was it because they got hurt at the end you had to play there?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Cause yeah, I wasn't even, I think it was day seven of fall camp and I'm not there. I'm supposed to be a school start guy. And I think it was Greg. I think Greg Menard got hurt.
Yeah. That makes sense. Cause that was his true senior year. Yeah. Yep.
And I'm hauling hay bales and I'm sitting in the semi and I get a call from, I don't know, Hank or someone, and they say, hey, can you come into camp, whatever? I'm like, yep. And they're like, can you play D-end? And I'm like, what? I'll come try. And then I get in there, and I don't know the difference between spill or box. We've never made a call on defense before. I don't know what an overfront, underfront. I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, dude, that was our freshman year. That was Beeks. So We had a recruit in our class, Cam Hackle. He stopped. Oh, I shouldn't have even said his name.
Yeah, it was.
And anyway, he left the team like day three or four of fall camp, and then Brian Carlton got hurt, and then Chubbs was coming off of a knee injury, and then he went down. Oh, no, Carlton didn't go down. Chubbs came in, and then he got hurt. So it was just me and Brian Carlton on the twos field for like three or four days, like the first 4 days of fall camp. And I'm surprised they didn't just let us ride it out, but I think they felt so bad. They called Beegs because Beegs was the same thing, and Beegs was going to be a tight end. And they called Beegs, and they're like, hey, can you come play D-tackle for fall camp? Like, I'm pretty sure that's how it went, if my memory serves me correct. So
Beegs might have been a pretty nasty fullback, too, if he had to stay there.
Yeah, could have been.
It was so fun. I just remember, like, you were obviously the DN stuff you didn't know, but you knew how to just play football and play hard, play to the whistle, all that stuff. I remember Buddha just loving you. Like, even when you messed up, it was like he had a smile on his face telling you. It was just like they appreciated you for coming in and stepping in, but also, like, you started to gain some brownie points for them. Can you tell the story along those lines of C. Riles learning the first time you didn't have teeth?
Yeah, shoot. I think he was So I think the Ram or the O-line were in meetings or something. And I'm sure he's getting on the clicker, on the laser, pointing at like something stupid I was doing, like laughing about it. And then someone said something about me not having teeth. And he was like shocked, like, what? He doesn't have what? Like, he's missing his two front teeth. So the next time I saw him, he said, he's like, oh, hey, summer teeth. And this is the first time I ever heard the summer teeth expression.
Yeah.
He's like, what's up, summer teeth? And I'm like, what? What's up? What? He's like, oh, summer teeth. Summer here, summer there. And that was funny because, I've heard that expression a few times since.
Didn't Zach Kuntz catch you? Or what coach was it that you scared on the field? When you got hit and they thought your teeth got knocked out.
Oh, it was definitely Zach Kuntz. Yeah, he was coming down to kick me out in power. And like I said, I don't know how to spill or box, so yeah. I kind of just stood there. And Zach Kuntz coming with a full head of steam, I stood no chance.
Yeah,
I think someone thought they got knocked out there.
If you want to talk about a fullback that would have like broke helmet records,
yeah.
If Kuntz could have not had a a spinal and neck surgery and forcefully had been retired from football, he probably would have been.
Zach Kuntz was.
You go watch that huddle film.
I'm on it.
Yeah, I know. I probably watched it within the last year.
That was the one that T-Roll said was the best huddle he's ever seen.
Yeah.
And it is. And the craziest part about it, way off on a tangent, but if Zach Kuntz plays in Minneapolis or if he plays in Omaha, he's at Nebraska or Ohio State or somewhere else because he just murdered people here in North Dakota.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just a natural transition, like, personality-wise, moving into the Ram room. Was that a spot that you, like, felt comfortable in? Like, obviously, and I honestly remember you before NDSU as a pretty quiet guy, but obviously that's not the case anymore. You just built your confidence. Did you feel comfortable coming into that room?
I did, and you know how, like, the Rams are. Like, it's kind of like a cult in there. Like, I was – The older guys in the room were really good about, you know, still kind of initiating me into it, but also, like, I don't know, being understanding and kind of helping me along the way. Like, some of the older guys in that room helped me so much kind of with that transition. And then, I mean, I mesh so well with O-line personalities. Like, you know how weird and stupid we all are. Like, yeah. I mesh so well with that. So it was a pretty seamless transition, I think.
I remember when you were trying – when you hit – it had to have been that 2018 fall because we were living together. And, God, you had to have been what, maybe 275, 280, like working to put weight on. And it was the night before our day off, and we headed to Family Fair. We were going to get ourselves something to eat just to, to hang out. And when I went and sat in the car and you walked out with a full pumpkin pie that you were going to eat that night, I don't know if I've ever like rolled harder laughing as you just cutting, not even cutting slices out of this pie, just eating the pie out of the container.
Was that that had to have been an in season, right? That wasn't
that was fall camp.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I was going to say that's a risky move to pull during like winter training when the fat tends to stay on more, but
That was, you know, when we lived in that apartment So that was like our first year off campus. I didn't buy an unlimited meal plan because, you know, I wasn't in scholarship, so I had to buy my own. I bought like a block plan. So I'm trying to conserve meals. And I think that, you know, every time I didn't eat at the dining center, I would just cook up a bunch of deer sausage. And then, yeah, my dessert was I'd get like a tub of whipped cream and then I'd have some pumpkin pie.
You know, Cody,
I
don't even
cut it. I just take a fork. Oh, my God.
It's funny that you say this because, I mean, we live together. Yeah. I have stories for days, and we could sit here all night. But do you remember the time you almost burnt the apartment building down?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to my parents. It's Sunday night. I come back home, have my fresh laundry. I go up to 210 at this horrible apartment that we got. By the way, we got tricked into signing the lease to this place. I don't even know how it happened. She was a great salesperson. And smoke is just rolling under the door. And I'm like, what is going on? I thought our building was burning down. Like an idiot, I go inside.
Yeah, don't.
Cody's sleeping in his bedroom, and there's a pot that had water on it to make his deer sausage that had all but burnt. It evaporated all the water and was just burning the pan.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, Cody almost got hit with that bill. So that was a good time.
Well, I woke up, same kind of thing. Our first house is me, Howie, and Rado. We lived like on First Street, and it's this old house. I'm the one that lived in the basement. I walk upstairs, and it's like an older house, so like the basement goes to the kitchen.
Is this the house that Cody lived in?
Nope. Different one. Okay. I walk upstairs into the kitchen, and it's just... It feels like it's 90 degrees in there. So I walk over. To this day, I don't know who it was. I think it was Rado because he was more the night eater. Someone had started the oven to put a pizza in, and the pizza was sitting there. Thankfully, not in the oven, but the oven was like kind of open. So the oven was just on all night.
Ugh.
And I'm just like, how are we alive?
That's like all the stories of like the people with the natural gas stoves.
Yes.
And like you're a match away from just sending your house into the stratosphere.
Yeah.
But Cody, I won't tell the fruit fly story here tonight, but I do want to apologize. And now that you're going to have some money of your own, I don't feel so bad. But remember when you dumped your pumpkin pie blizzard all over your bedroom?
Yeah, it was totally me. Didn't get knocked out of my hand or anything.
No, I just scared you. I have video evidence. That's what it was. I watch that video now, and like poor Cody is just on the floor cleaning up his own blizzard after he spilled it, and it's like the most. It's the most depressing thing I've ever seen in my life. But
and right. The problem is I get the memory from you every year, and I probably get it every year from now too. I have to relive it every year.
And you feel like this. You feel like the same pain every time you watch it, right?
Every time. It's like it's 6 years ago already.
This one's a little bit deeper and more football related. Obviously, so like I moved to O-line in 2019. So you had already been there for a year. We were kind of in the same role, I guess, just back up. You luckily had the Ogre. We can get into that after. I mean, I think the Ogre is so cool, and like I hope it's something that they always do. But when do you think, I guess, your trajectory, like when do you think it all changed? Do you have like a moment, or was it just kind of like that going into the spring season when COVID happened and you were – I mean, pretty much the elder statesman with Cordell.
Yeah, it was, I think it was kind of that time because I knew, like, well, I looked at the tackles ahead of me. It's Dylan and it's Cordell. Like, yeah, like, I'm absolutely competing for them for their jobs. But, like, you know, also being realistic, I'm not going to go out there and beat Dylan for the left tackle spot. So I kind of embraced the backup role and the Ogre role, like, whatever snaps I could get. But then, yeah, once COVID happened, we had that spring season, was able to start tackle. I think it was the first year I started. I went out there. And, you know, you're always nervous a little bit maybe for your first couple of starts, but then you just get comfortable in there. And then I think that's when it kind of clicked for me, when I started to play comfortable, was playing a lot better. Then I'm kind of like, I think this could actually be something that I maybe have a future at. And then it was, you know, I was always a dedicated guy, but I kind of rededicated myself at that point because I'm like, you can't half-ass this. You have to go and you have to full out do it. You know, you have to dive into it. So that like summer, and then, you know, I just kind of kept getting better and better and more confident. I think that's the biggest thing, is just more confidence I got. But like that flip kind of switched for me the first year I started in the spring.
So with that confidence, and something that is a real compliment to you, and you play with like this kid's level energy. It's like you're having fun. And with that confidence, like I said, Dan Larson's a pretty serious guy. Did you run by the like silly first down things by him, or did you just start doing them? And do you think you're the only person that could have gotten away with that?
Yeah. Adding on to that, if you didn't run it by him or any of the coaches, you are absolutely the only person in the history of the program that will ever be able to do that and not get their ass chewed.
Like Jay Kubis would have gotten benched immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't run anything by anyone. I just
you psycho.
It's like, I was just having fun. It was all kind of, and I think they understood that I'm not here like methodically planning out like first down right. or celebration stuff. I think they realized that it was like spur of the moment things. And I think they also kind of realized the energy that it gave people too. Cause like, if you see guys out there just goofing around and like, yeah, being serious when you need to, but also just having fun, like guys feed off that energy. And I think especially Larson, really, I think he was okay with that just because of the energy that it gave the rest of the team.
It gets me hyped every time I see it. And I think too, like, I don't think NFL fans, wherever you end up going, should expect you to be hitting sliding yeah. first downs. But like you picked and choose it perfectly. Like if you're down by three, you're not looking for Cody on film to be throwing first down signs. But if you're beating the shit out of Montana State, he's going to slide and hit the first down and go viral.
Yeah, so I'll agree with you that, like, they weren't planned. But because, like, there's that one where you're on the sideline that, like, you, like, are, like, tripping and then you cartwheel into it, which is hilarious. But that one against Montana State, when you come in from the back and, like, sprint 15 yards and do a baseball slide, what, like, how did, like, how was that spur of the moment? Like what? Yeah. What got into your mind to say like, holy shit! Like we just got a 15-yard gain. Let me just go baseball slide into this.
I don't know, dude. And I think it was the first drive too. So it's not even like we were up or anything. But it was a third and long, and like, okay, you know how the field is in Frisco. It's always slippery.
Oh,
like,
dude, it's the worst.
They're sliding during yeah. warmups. Like I knew how that was. And I really don't know what it was, but like I'm chasing the ball down and I don't know. I have no idea why in my mind I'm like, oh, let me just slide and do first down. But I just did. And it just kind of happened to be a pretty clean slide.
You're right. No, you're right, though. Like the energy it brings, because like I think that's the one where Mathis is like right behind you. And he's like, yeah, like first down. Like,
yeah,
like guys are like, we're just as pumped about the first down celly that they were about the first down.
Yep, I wish I like it's stuff like that people probably don't believe me when I say like, oh, it's spur of the moment, but I have no idea why my mind thinks like that or why in that moment I'm like, oh, let me just go and slide like a baseball player sliding in a second.
I think that's the craziest part. Like the clip went viral of like you're basically looking at the camera too, like the GIF that everybody used on Twitter and all that stuff. But the most insane part is it wasn't like you were falling anyway, and like Quinn mentioned, the somersault one into the first down, you got tripped and you were falling, so you did that. It was just natural. But you took a 10-yard running start and slid on the ground and hit it, and effectively, like I said earlier, went viral. That was like Cody Mauch's coming out party, it felt like.
I mean, it was a perfect slide, too. You see a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL that have never slid before. Like, I mean, luckily, if you go to a team with like a young quarterback that doesn't know how to slide, you'll be able to teach them.
With knee braces on, too.
Yeah, so yeah, and tape on.
Knee braces, taped ankles, spat.
So I think I have an answer. I haven't really thought too much about it, but staying on that Montana State game, what's the better celebration? Is it the sliding first down or the leg dab? We just had Hunter Lipke on last week. What's better? Call your shot.
You know, the leg dab's pretty iconic. I don't know how, if he had planned that out, like, oh, if I get a touchdown, I'm going to do that. But the leg dab, because I didn't know that was coming. You know, it's not like we'd sit there and we talk about what sellies we're going to do.
Yeah.
But, like, that's another thing right there. When people see that, and like, I got pumped when I see, I'm like, that's so sweet. I didn't even know what that was until he did that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. The leg dab was pretty cool. I'm not really, I don't know if I want to answer that.
Cause you know, yours was cooler. That's fine. All right. We'll get you. You know, Quinn and I, we will sit here and talk for 2.5 hours, no problem. So I'm going to start the process of getting you on with your day. But I just want to look ahead into your next few months. I can imagine it's stressful, but it has to be fairly fulfilling in knowing that your work is paying off. What are kind of the pros and cons? What are you looking forward to? What are you not looking forward to up until March in Kansas City?
Yeah, it's like, it's been a lot of training, you know. So I'm out in Irvine, Orange County, California, which is like a completely different world out here than what it is in Fargo. So like, it's right away, it was a little weird coming out here because I literally didn't know anyone. I knew my agent and that was it. Like, I didn't know anyone out here, none of the guys that I was training with. And like, thankfully now, shoot, I think we're 7 weeks into training and now you're so close with all the guys you're training with. Like, you're becoming really good friends with them. We're going out, we're going bowling and sitting in the hot tub at our apartment, like just stuff like that. Kind of like, it's like team building type stuff, you know? Sure. So to have guys like that, like, become close friends with, that's really made the process a lot easier in terms of being so far away from home.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, like, I like the training. I like going out there. Like, I maybe don't love the speed work, but I know that you have to do that stuff, you know?
Right.
But it's stuff like that, or the lifting and all the position work. Like, I like doing that. It's really just a lot of that, a lot of film study and all that, the interview prep. There's just so much stuff you're always doing until the combine now. And, so you're out here just working, and you know that going into it, that you're going to be grinding, you're going to be working all the time. So I don't really know if there's a whole lot of cons. Like, I don't think you can say there's a lot of cons. Like, look at the opportunity that I have in front of me. Like, you can't really be mad about a whole lot of things. Like, oh, I have to go work out. No, like, it's cliche, but you get to go out and do that stuff because how many people would love this opportunity? You know,
there's T-Roll. I knew it was going to come out.
So I think anyone that kind of follows football closely knows that, like, a guy in your position right now, you're basically training to be like a combine athlete. There's not a ton of football training that goes in, maybe like here and there, but most of your stuff is just combine training, right?
It is. It's so much. It's technique for the 40, all the steps for the cone drills and short shuttle and stuff. It's training for the underwear Olympics, really.
Right. So what, like, as an offensive lineman, I guess, a tackle, guard, center, such as yourself, what do you think and what are you training for the most? What kind of, like, what drill do you think it's most important to impress a scout, a head coach, a GM as an offensive lineman during the combine?
I mean, I think as an offensive lineman, I don't know if they're really looking at, like, I think a lot of the drills, if you just do really well at them, it's going to turn some heads. But really for all linemen, it's getting a good time, kind of maybe checking some boxes for teams. I think the most important thing for all linemen is, like, maybe like a bench press or like your 10-yard split in the 40, some of the short shuttle stuff, maybe just to see how quick you are. But it's really just when you get out there and you get to do like the O-line drills where you're working with like an O-line coach and then they can just see the way you move through drills and all that. I think that's the most important thing for O-linemen.
I'm going to be looking for that one drill they make O-linemen do. That's the, I'm pretty sure it's the last movement for patterns for D-linemen at NDSU. It's where you just flip your hips like every 5 yards for 30 yards while running backwards. I can't wait to watch you do that just to like look at you and like look, think what you're thinking at that time. Like, this is the most pointless drill I've ever done in my life.
Like, why do I have to?
Yeah, like why am I
turning sprint 40? Yeah,
like, as an offensive lineman, why am I DB running backwards and flipping my hips?
And you know, like, maybe the whole like, okay, I get like, oh, pass it and then like flip your hips and run a little bit just to see how you kind of move like that. But then why am I running the extra 25 yards on top of that?
Yeah, dude, I think it is. I think I heard it for the first time during COVID when they ended up not having the combine, right? They didn't have the combine during COVID.
I don't think so.
They said basically, I think someone leaked it or not leaked, but a scout pretty much said on an interview, like, we just want to see if these guys worked at the drills.
Yeah.
Like, it's basically, yeah, like, we want to see how hard guys worked at the drills.
Yeah, which is kind of what it is.
Which is kind of crazy, but it's like, I guess I get it.
Yeah, right.
Staying on Indy, I've heard from the people who have been, I've like seen them talk on Pat McAfee shows, and part of my take, they talk about what a grind in Indianapolis can be. It's got to be nice knowing you have two guys that you played with going along with Noah Gindorf and Hunter Lipke, but the mentally taxing part is the late nights staying up for the questions with the teams. Is that something you like, not necessarily don't look forward to, but is it something you enjoy, like getting to showcase your personality? Because I think you're just like Cordell in the fact that when you sit down and talk to you, you're like, I love this guy. I want him to be on my football team for 10 years. Is that something you know as a strength going into meeting rooms and going into the next few months?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that a lot of people will complain about, just all the interviews you have to do and all this. But, like, I mean, I like doing that stuff. Like, I like just, yeah, like you said, just getting a chance to kind of show who I am and, like, you know, maybe crack a couple jokes in there, too, if it's, like, appropriate. But that's one of my strengths, is just being able to kind of talk anything and then, you know, get on the board and, like, go through some football stuff, kind of show my football knowledge. But I like those interviews. Like, we got prepped for them so well here where I'm training. And, like, I kind of look forward to some of the interviews because it's fun to do that stuff the way I see it.
Yeah. And I think what can kind of limit guys or like make it difficult for them is that they're so rigid and trying to be so polished. And I think you just going in and cracking jokes, you know, helps along that way. How would you respond to one of these goofy questions that they always give? Like if your mom and dad were hanging off a cliff, which one would you save? Or like, are you a cat? Or are you a dog? Things along that line, I think you could handle better than anybody else going into that room because you could make it funny more than anything.
Yeah, and like those are some of the questions that we're asking each other in the O-line room before meetings anyways. So like I have a lot of those answers ready. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. If you need some hot seat questions, you know, some five questions, you let me know. I have some loaded up for you.
Oh, I know you always have them ready.
Well, Cody, we're going to get into... Unless, Quinn, do you have anything else?
I'm looking. I don't think so, man.
I'm going to add one more thing.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm looking kind of, you know, back about the Senior Bowl. Let me tell you how nice it is to play O-line for the first time, not having to wear knee braces.
Oh. It looks so nice. I thought, because I was watching you during the game, and I thought you were going to be wearing them, and you just looked sick. You played a lot in the Senior Bowl, by the way, and being able to do it without knee braces had to have been nice.
It was just, it's like, it feels weird, like having, you know, full pads on and you're not wearing knee braces. Like, you just feel like exposed, but oh my gosh, do you feel fast and fluid.
Okay, so I know we had to wear them for games, but you were definitely one of the guys who just wore sweats and didn't wear the knee braces.
Dude, in practice all the time, I was a big sweat guy, and I like always thought about like, let me try to get away without wearing them, but I didn't want to have to deal with like someone coming up checking my sweat. I actually did. It was always a thought.
That was a Lane Tucker special. It's like Lane. Like, come on, dude. We know you're not wearing the knee braces. Like,
I had the same thought process with ankles. It's like that one day I don't get them taped or wear the braces, I know I'm gonna roll my ankle.
I was a weirdo, Bobby. I loved getting ankles spatted, like shoes on.
Yeah, that was nice until they stopped doing it.
But Bobby always did it for
I had to tape my ankles and I had to spat them. I was always spat my ankles too. I like to spat.
Yeah.
Unless you're warming up on the Thursday before the Natty.
Yeah. A little 7 period practice in Frisco. Kind of the bane of me.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
It happens. Everyone gets got.
Let's do Stardom Sit'em Super Bowl foods. We already discussed it. We sent over a little, little script we were going to talk about. Cody, do you have your five of each one ready to go?
Yeah, I do. I was looking through it, and I have I have so many good ones, and I have exactly 5 bad ones.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I had too.
So you can go ahead and start it off. We'll go you, me, Quinn. Quinn, you're heading up you're tailing up the whole draft here.
All right.
Go ahead, Cody.
Yep. Start at number 5. Start from the bottom of your list and work up to 1.
Do I do like either or start them or sit them, or do I want to each?
Start them first.
Yep, start them first. We'll do one at a time.
Yeah. All right. So I think for my fifth one, I'm gonna go. I think I'm gonna go anything wrapped in bacon. Any kind of thing that's wrapped in bacon is always good.
You know, this is a hot button topic.
I like your thought there,
especially in that people know what I do for work. This is the barbecue space. People are not a fan of like the chicken breast or the jalapeno poppers wrapped in bacon, but it's bacon, man. It makes everything better. I think there are better ways to incorporate it, but a bacon wrapped, like,
if you're not a fan of a jalapeno popper wrapped in bacon, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's so good.
It's true.
My number five, the Tyson Willis special, a case of beer.
Classic.
Kind of cheating. But if I can have one thing on a Super Bowl Sunday, it's a case of beer.
Yeah. I'm going to get roasted for this one. I just put it on my list. I really don't feel that confident in it, to be honest. I was going to put pizza, but pizza varies so much. Like, if there's a bad pizza, kind of ruins it. Like, if you just order one pizza for yourself and it ends up being bad. I kind of went into this list. I'm prefacing a lot because this is how not confident I am in this pick.
I'm still going to roast you.
Yeah. You need something sweet, in my opinion, like a palate cleanser. For me, that is a heavy, heavy, heavy cream fruit pizza.
Oh,
that's so good.
Thank you. And like, you have to have so much cream cheese on there. If it's a tiny layer of cream cheese, ruins it.
Dude, it's
give me the fattiest, like most loaded cream cheese fruit pizza you got.
It's a time and place thing. Sure. I don't need it on Super Bowl Sunday, but I love fruit pizza.
Yeah. I like it on Super Bowl Sunday just because I'm going to eat 30 wings.
Yeah.
Caught myself there. Like so much pizza, much like chips and dip. And it's like you get to a point where you kind of need a reset if you're going to go back for more wings. And that's where the fruit pizza. See, I can't do it. Okay. We brought beer up and I thought about doing like, for this start, I'm sitting with you, Cody. I thought about us doing beer. Tell everyone your affinity with Old Mill, because my dad, RIP, loved Old Mill, and I have never seen anyone drink it before or since he died. And the first time I saw someone was when you walked into a house with a case of it.
21 plus, of course.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's just like a... I don't even know if it's like, I mean, it's definitely a local thing, but that's what my dad was always drinking kind of growing up. I was always around it. So when I'm finally able to drink beer, I'm like, let me see what this noise is all about. and here I am sucking down the blue can of the Old Mill, Old Mill Lights.
Yeah.
Old Mill Lights. You gotta maintain a figure.
Yeah. You deleted those too. I mean, those did not last long.
Yeah. I think it's a Southeast North Dakota thing because Julia has family from Lidgerwood and they love Old Mill. That's all they drink.
Mm.
So I don't know if
it definitely is. It's like that corner of the state because Lidgerwood, Hankinson, like wine near that area. Just that's what it's that everyone has it in their fridge.
Larimore.
Yeah. All right, Cody, give us your number four stardom. Fruit pizza is a bad pick, by the way.
Yeah, that's all right.
Number four, I'm going to go, this is a little specific. Let me know if you guys have ever had this. So like, like the little Frito scoop, like chips.
Yeah.
So you have like a pan of those with like caramel drizzled all over them.
I'm
and then,
in.
Like M&M's sprinkled on them. And then it's like chilled. Dude, hear me out. Just like Frito scoops with caramel all over them. And then like M&M's. So good. You go up there and you just grab the whole pan and bring it back.
Had that. I've never seen that. But that's a sweet I'm into.
That's a sweet on a Super and savory. Bowl Sunday. That sounds like one of the best sweet and savory.
I might make those for Sunday. Heard.
Yeah.
You have to try them and let me know. They're so good.
That's a good call. And like we're so fat we can just imagine what that tastes like.
Well,
right,
my dumb brain, when he said Fritos and then when he said those and the caramel, I was like, whoa, 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 what's going on? And then the M&Ms and then like refrigerate or freeze them, I was like, oh.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call those, but that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
My number four, just figuring what order to go into. It's right down the middle. You can make a ton of it. And part of my picks were from being a host perspective. Like, I've had people over for games. I love hosting and cooking for people. Pulled pork. You can make 500 pounds of it at a time. Everybody eats so much of it. And it's just like, to get your protein in, you have all the side dishes, you have everything around it, but nothing's easier to serve and eat bang for your buck than pulled pork on Sundays.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
That's good. Yeah.
This one is very specific just to me because I did, can't remember. I think I might have done it 2 years in a row when we just like went to like Kenley's house and watched the Super Bowl. It is a bag of the jalapeno cheddar kettle chips, the Dutch ones, with top the tater.
Ooh.
And you just eat the whole bag and the whole container of chips.
Was that you or was that a Kenley idea?
No, that was me.
Okay. I didn't want to give Kenley credit. No,
he does the top the tater. I can't remember what flavor, but with the sweet chili Doritos.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. But no, dude, if you haven't done it, just the OG top the tater with the jalapeno cheddar kettle chips, unreal.
I think people forget that when you buy chips, you can dip them.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get into
it. You and I, Aldi. That's the place where you need to be.
Oh, my God. Most of my weight.
We could do a Stardom Situm dips.
Most of my weight problems come from Aldi dip.
Yeah, because it's cream cheese.
If I could just stay away from the Mexicali, the street corn, the jalapeno artichoke. I'm not a seven layer guy.
You can't get all seven layers.
It's the beans.
I love refried beans.
I hate them.
All right, Cody, give us number three Stardom.
Yeah, number three. So for me, I think it's like football shaped desserts or like cookies that are like
hilarious.
Yeah. Like a sugar cookie that's like it's got frosting on it and it's like a little football. It's like
hastily decorated by your little sister or something.
Yeah, it's a normal cookie, but I'm watching football. I'm eating the football. It's great.
Yeah, it's like Christmas cookie. I don't think people realize. I mean, people in the U.S. do, but if like a foreign exchange student was here, it's like football. The Super Bowl is a holiday. Yeah. There's no reason. The Monday after should be a federal holiday.
I think they're working on it, and that would be the politicians actually doing something.
That would be hilarious.
If they just made
Monday, I agree with you. Holiday. You got to make it festive. The Super Bowl is to eat like a fat ass and be festive about it.
And that's what's the best part, because there's a lot of like weight and expectations in every other holiday.
And this
when
is the
it's
one
Super Bowl.
This is the one holiday you only choose to spend with your friends.
Correct.
Not and, family
and
that
when,
you hate.
When Super
I don't hate my the family I have holidays with. That
nice,
sounded
yeah.
that sounded nice. Insane.
I'm sending this to Denise.
I am thinking of people across the country that like are miserable during a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And are like
horrible in-laws.
Yes.
You can pick the homies and whatever homies significant others you want to come, you can be more precise on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
But there's like I said, there's so much expectations about hosting and like being festive. Your team doesn't have to be playing.
No.
They didn't even have to make the playoffs.
It's also better.
I
hope the Chargers actually never win a Super Bowl.
I think
it'll break my heart like when they lose.
If the Chargers made the Super Bowl, I think you and I would be the only person I would be able to watch it with.
Yeah, I don't think I could even watch it with like Kendra and Lenny.
No, because
I don't want them to see me in that state.
Not only that. Sorry, Cody, this is just turning to regular benchwarmers where Quinn and I talk. But when the Chargers lost to the Jaguars, I love Julia to death. And my mother-in-law, Patty, is a wonderful woman. But very few women in my life know how to respond or know what a heartbreaking loss like that feels like. And I just can't be around Julia just being like, oh, it's okay. And when we're down by 27 with 4 minutes to go in the Super Bowl, I can't do it. So just so you know, we're in that pack.
Yeah,
together.
Kendra woke up and asked if they won. I said no. And she said, Jesus.
I was like,
thank you.
I sat in my chair for 2 hours without moving. Well, I rage tweeted for 2 hours straight. I went into the bedroom at midnight and I woke Julia up and I said, they lost. And she goes, no, they didn't. Yeah, that's
all right.
So she got the first full real experience.
What's your number three?
Pizza.
Okay.
I'll take any pizza.
Yeah.
If frozen, I don't care.
I was talking to Kenley about this list this morning, frozen pizza is kind of the way to go.
Correct.
Because when I talk about pizza varying, if you get it delivered, you're
risking. It's in God's hands.
Yes. Frozen pizza, you can, or the take and bake from Papa Murphy's. Cody, I'm with you. My number three specifically is the bacon wrapped jalapeno poppers. That's like a delicacy.
Yeah, so good.
If someone actually makes those for you for a Super Bowl party, you're like, oh, they care about me.
Can I propose something to you guys about this?
Mm-hmm.
My dad taught me how to make jalapeno poppers correctly.
What do you mean correctly?
You don't cut them in half. You just take out the seeds in the middle.
Yeah.
You cook your bacon and mix it in with the cheese and the cream cheese, and then you pipe it into the pepper. And then you grill them, smoke them, however you want to cook them. Then you get a bite of bacon. You're not like bringing chewy bacon with.
But can you wrap that in bacon again for me?
Not for you. I would
for Cody.
The
more bacon, the better.
Yeah, I want to die at 45.
Not for you. I would for Cody.
Oh, whatever.
Cody, give us number two stardom.
Okay, I'm really kind of going between my top two here. And I think with number two, just because I have to put this other one at number two, I'm going just wings. It's on everyone's list. It's probably on most people number one, but I think I have a better one ahead of it. So I'm going wings at two.
Okay, so everybody gets on me. I love traditional wings. It's a time and a place. I will happily sit down and eat my chicken nuggets and be a fat ass and be happy the entire time. Give me boneless wings, but when I'm watching football, it needs to be traditional. That was my number two. It's a buffalo wing specifically.
Okay.
Hold on, Cody. What's your sauce preference? Are you a buffalo guy? Do you like a parm garlic? Do you like some buffalo, or do you like barbecue? What's your flavor?
If I had to pick two, I go to B-Dub. I gotta get some kind of buffalo and Parmesan garlic. Those are the two for me.
Good call.
And like in this case, I'm with you. It's Super Bowl. It's gotta be buffalo wings. You can't go wrong.
Me and Kendra have. So I'll join you guys with wings. I mean, it was technically my number one, but since we all just have it, I'll go number two.
Yeah.
See what we all have for number one.
It might be the same number.
The wings for me and Kendra, as of like the last year, because I love Buffalo Wild Wings. I love what they've done for this country. All the overtime games they've given us with the overtime button. But sometimes their sauce that they put on those wings, it's like, can we cover all the wings? Can we not just cover like a half of a wing? Like it's not, doesn't do it for me. So we went with the dry rubs the last year and the salt and vinegar dry rub wings they have. In my opinion, their best wing. For traditional,
just make your.
That's something that I got on recently in the last couple of years. It's like, so for me, it's at B-Dubs. It's the Chipotle barbecue dry rub.
Dry
rub's actually like, it's good. Like I didn't really dip into it too much until a couple of years ago. Dry rub's awesome.
Honestly, they kind of hit them out of the park because
and they can't. It's hard to mess up the dry rub too.
Well, they have the desert heat, like the hot buffalo, which is delicious, and then they have lemon pepper, which is like. Obviously big in the wing circle, but boy, are they good.
We had an incident this weekend where Kendra ordered wings.
Uh-huh.
It was for us two and her dad, kind of. 30 wings.
That's not enough.
10, well, it was fine. 10 salt and vinegar, 10 Chipotle barbecue, both dry rub. And she didn't click dry rub for the lemon pepper. So we got
wet lemon pepper.
So we got a saucy lemon pepper. Weird experience.
Yeah, so
that's the first time I'd ever had the wet lemon pepper.
Yeah, so you can get it as a wet or a dry, and that's pretty.
Who gets it as a wet? Like, why do they do it? Just do it dry.
I won't put you in a tough spot like this, but there is people who order them wet.
Oh, okay.
Cody, number one, stardom.
Number one for me, it's a Super Bowl. I gotta have like little Smokies.
Oh,
they're so good. Like,
I thought about it. I was going back one and two, and I thought about, I didn't even include it in my list. I ended up not. But that is a honorable mention for me. I think it's because it's the most like easy to prepare. So literally everyone has it at a Super Bowl party. So like you just grow up on it too.
100%.
My number one stardom is dip. And I'm going to counteract myself here in the situm, but buffalo chicken dip just hits every single time.
That's Kenley's number one. So
you didn't have to tell me that. You could at least let me like live with it. I love buffalo chicken dip. And a little plug, Big Duck Barbecue is making their buffalo sauce soon, hitting shelves soon. So yeah, buffalo chicken dip. Woo. That's my way to go.
My number one is just, it's my favorite, and like Kendra knows, it's my favorite food. Nachos.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I love nachos. And that is a very, and here's the thing, you can't really do the nachos at a Super Bowl party because they just get picked apart. You have to do the nachos like I did last year where you just make the pan by hand for yourself for the whole night.
That's
and then,
fine.
And then it's just me. Also, we don't need to plug this place, but Legends in Moorhead.
Yeah.
Have you ever had their nachos?
Yeah, we went there together.
Yeah. They cover it with buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I have a take. Uh-oh. Unless it's personal, I'm anti-nacho.
Really?
I don't need a communal plate where, like, my dad's stealing all the black olives and chicken and, like, my little brother's eating all the steak and the sour cream where I have to, like, eat crumbly bits of chips. And
See, that's why I said, like, that. The way I did it last year, where I just make my own pan.
Yeah,
I can't depend on enjoying my night if I know I'm sharing a pan of nachos with like three other people.
Correct.
Yeah, I have nachos in my, because I have it literally in here, nachos in parentheses, double edged sword, because they're yes. so good.
Yeah.
But like you said, like people are just picking apart all the good stuff, or you're with. Let's say you're with your little brother. He's licking his fingers. He's going back in there. You know, like,
and we've all,
it's just like, and I don't know.
We've all done it. If you've made your own nachos, you always think you need so many chips, and then you get to the end, and it's just a plate of chips, and there's no more toppings on it. You're just like, oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, and I'm staunchly against nachos as an appetizer because it's messy. You have to get this weird little plate that you never get anything good on. And then you get down to the last chip that has stuff on it. And everybody's like, are you the weird Midwest thing? Like, who's going to take it? All that stuff. But here's my plug to somebody that doesn't pay us money for advertising. Lucky 13s makes their nachos in a bag of Doritos.
What do you mean?
They just mix everything together in a bag of Doritos.
Oh, weird.
It's fantastic.
Taco in a bag.
Walking taco?
Yeah, we won't open that one.
Cody, give us your number five sit-em.
The sit-em for me was hard. I have exactly five, and I was digging through lists online, list of 100 Super Bowl snacks, and I found five that I didn't like. And I think for me, number five, I'm going baked potatoes. I don't know how common they are at Super Bowl parties.
Sure.
According to some lists, they're on there. But I don't like baked potatoes to start with.
Yeah, that would be.
I'm not huge on them.
That would be a disappointing item if you saw it on a table. And it was like one of
That's just something that's. Yeah, you're going to have eight baked potatoes on the plate at the beginning of the game. And then after the game, there's going to be eight cold baked potatoes still on the plate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and like that's genuinely a scenario. I didn't even know that was a thing, but I could see it being a thing. Like, we're having a baked potato bar for the big game. I will turn around and walk out of that party. I don't need to be around those people for 3 hours.
Yeah.
My number five sit-em is Little Smokies, boys. I think it's because I not only got them at Super Bowl parties, I got them at every family function.
Yeah.
I've eaten my body weight in Little Smokies, and that's a high number.
Yeah.
But I'll offer you an alternative. Don't laugh like that, Cody. Motherfucker.
Oh,
I'll have to cut that.
Nah, whatever.
The alternative my dad started doing is just barbecue meatballs. Like the frozen bags of meatballs, it's better than Little Smokies.
I did have those on my good list. They didn't make the cut.
My number five is just a spite pick. I just had a handful of them today, so I have no problem with them. It's pizza rolls. I would rather just do pizza.
I might be into pizza rolls.
See, okay,
I've never had
I like pizza rolls, but if it's a Super Bowl, I'd rather just do a pizza. Also,
pizza
this,
rolls as a side dish rocks.
Also, this, have you ever had this happen? I almost strangled someone. I don't even remember who it was. I'm seeing a gray face right now. Like it's blanking on me.
Like you haven't unlocked that character yet?
Someone said like, hey, do you, and it wasn't Kendra, but someone was like, hey, when you get over here, like we'll just eat some pizza. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Sounds good. And there was just a pan of pizza rolls when
that's
I got there.
That's crazy.
I was like, what happened?
Pizza
like,
roll?
We're not like, is this the same? We weren't having this conversation. Like don't ever do that again.
Pizza rolls are great in a vacuum when you know you're eating pizza rolls. But if you set the expectation that pizza is going to be there,
I see pizza rolls. That person's lucky I didn't Stone Cold Steve Austin to Vince McMahon just bash their head in with that pan. What? All right, Cody, number four.
Number four for me is anything sweet potato flavored. I don't like sweet potatoes. I don't like sweet potato fries. Sweet potato. Anything else, especially when you have like the marshmallows out, like guys, come on, get that out of here. We're watching football. Like, chill out.
What is with this whole trend that we're gonna pretend that sweet potato fries are better than regular fries?
They're not If someone says they're better, they're crazy. But I do love sweet potato fries.
Liberal.
You're talking.
Number four. This might be out there, but hard booze. It's a long day. I need to take it easy. I don't need Jack and Cokes. I don't need the crown pulled out. I don't need shots. And it usually ends up happening.
Shots are crazy.
But it's like, one, you're eating so much food, and it's all that food goes with beer. You also just like, I don't want to put that in my body. You know, this thing's a temple, and I want to protect it. And the river that flows through is only beer.
My next like three are all, I talk about palate cleansers, and these are basically all palate cleansers, but just like, if you go to a Super Bowl party and there's just a bowl of pretzels sitting there,
like, you should be arrested.
I'm not.
It's Dots pretzels.
Sure. But like, I'm talking about the golds.
Yeah.
Rolled golds. Yes. Like, there's even worse than that, if it's those thick pretzels, those like poles. The rods, like, to get them out. Like, I don't need pretzels. Like, we're all here to do the same thing. We are here to get fat and watch football. Like, get those pretzels out of my face.
A bowl of pretzels is nuts, but it is a viable option to dip into things.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Cody, what do you think about pretzels?
I like pretzels, especially like Dot's pretzels.
Yeah.
Are so good. But I like
pretzels. What's your favorite flavor of Dot?
So, what did I just have? Is it like cheese curd? Is that one of them?
Well, the cheese curl ones.
Yeah. They have
cheese curl. I had those. It's literally like, it's a Cheeto is what it is. Yeah. I had those for the first time, but I like the OG like Dots are just so good.
Yeah.
Buddy,
my favorite is the honey mustard. It's not
good.
Close.
Yeah. They're good. And you're a hater if you say otherwise. It's a good pretzel. But Cody, I don't know if they've hit Irvine yet. They're kind of a seasonal run that hit up here. I'll send you a bag. She made cinnamon sugar pretzels, and
I heard incredible. That can't be bad. There's no way.
Quinn hates them.
No.
He's a liberal.
I like them.
And he hates small business.
No, I like them, and they did a good job. My only beef, I wanted them to embrace making something fatty more and just cover them more with sugar and cinnamon.
Sure. Yeah. Cody, if you don't see him at Walmart or something, let me know. I'll send you a bag.
I'll go look for him this weekend.
Is it my turn?
I think so.
No, it was four. No, it was pretzels.
Oh, yeah. Cody, you're starting.
Yeah, I'm going to go like a cheese and cracker plate.
Yeah.
Like, it makes it a little bit better if you have like some kind of meat on there, but still, like, that's just so lazy. Like, no, you go and you buy some Ritz crackers and throw some little cheddar cheese on there. Like, that's not doing it for me at all.
Yeah, that gives me vibes of something like when Carter was in college, he would have brought that home to the Super Bowl party.
He 100% would have.
Okay, there better be summer sausage on that plate. Correct. If there's not, if there's not summer sausage from the local plant, like, that person's uninvited for the rest of time. And they're never hosting again.
And I don't even like cheese like that to begin with.
I don't either.
Yeah. No. Just to eat like a sharp cheddar? No.
Like, I'll throw it on there with, you know, if there's some meat as well, because I think it just enhances like the flavor. But I'm not just going to throw cheese on crackers. Like, that's just like, I'll probably stop talking to that person if they bring that to my Super Bowl party.
Yeah, it's weird. That's the right move. I'm going to go with, and I put any sweets on here. Now I'm into the Cody.
No,
the Cody chip.
No,
no, they're getting made this weekend. They're getting made this weekend. But I don't need fruit pizza, especially. I don't need cookies. I don't need candy. I am here to eat disgusting fried food, and none of it, unless it's like fried ice cream or something, I don't eat it.
So similar to my pretzels is the number three, just like a big bowl or maybe two or three medium sized bowls of like a salted nut mix. It's like
the worst is when they just leave the container out. They don't even put it into a bowl.
Like it's crazy. Bowl
it's
of nuts.
Yes, yeah. It's crazy how much people eat on it though. Because like those get like actually ate way more than like pretzels.
That's an Olds thing.
Yeah,
I like that gives me vibes of something that like Trevor Gebhardt would eat. Just like a handful of nuts.
Come on, man.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Ricochet shots. No, but like a salted pretzel. Yeah. What's even crazier than the salted mix is if they just have like good old salted Planter peanuts. Like not even the mix.
Yeah.
Like not even a trail mix, just peanuts.
See, you can get away with cashews with me, but I don't. Or like a flavored almond.
Maybe.
But a mix where I'm like eating a hazelnut and an almond at the same time, I don't need
this. This is another Aldi plug. They have coconut cashews there. They're so good.
Not in on cashew. Go ahead, Cody.
I'm not even kidding.
Coconut, I meant. Cody?
Sorry, what's up?
Your turn, buddy.
No, sorry. Number two for me is deviled eggs.
Oh, that's a hot take.
Interesting.
That's hot take.
It is. I knew it was going to be, but it's kind of like the sweet potato, like anything sweet potato for me, because I feel like those are things where you're not really on the fence. You either love deviled eggs or you just do not like deviled eggs, and I do not like them. I don't think they're great Super Bowl.
That's fair. I would agree. I don't know how many times I've been to a Super Bowl party with deviled eggs. I will say this. I didn't like eggs growing up, so I never had deviled eggs, but I was the kid that was like, no, I hate those.
Yeah.
And it's like, just try them. No, I hate them because I don't like eggs. To this day, I don't eat eggs a ton. Because Bill Gates took the prices up on all of them and is building these like weird farms to put chips on our food. But
you're an idiot.
But I still have like a weird thing with eggs. I don't like eggs, but I love deviled eggs. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was just a maturity thing, but I do agree with you, Cody, that it is that would be kind of a weird thing to bring to the Super Bowl party.
That's a Thanksgiving and Easter dish.
Yeah, it is.
I was shocked when I saw those on like a list for Super Bowl foods. I'm like, I didn't know that was really a thing. But I do remember growing up, I had seen them at a Super Bowl before, so I figured they were worthy.
Okay, but what if they found a way to decorate it with Dijon mustard and made it look like a football?
Buddy.
Anything football I'm eating. I think that's
it. See, that's where you get tricked into.
It is football shape. Yeah. By the way, only way to make deviled eggs is with dill pickle mustard from Big Deck. That's another plug.
For sure.
But that's just like organic. That's the only way I make deviled eggs, and it's delicious.
This episode is also brought to you by Tundra Insurance.
Yeah.
All right.
We haven't done an ad read in like four weeks.
No, we haven't. Sponsors are going to get pissed.
Yeah. My number two, it's two, right?
Yep.
This is a tough look because I love this in any other setting. Spin dip.
What?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
Like spinach artichoke dip.
Oh.
It's just, it doesn't work in that setting where you're adding it onto a plate and it's like a big communal thing of like cream cheese and spinach. I love it when you get it as an appetizer, but doesn't work at a Super Bowl party.
I gotcha. My number two is if like, and I would never do it, but I've seen people just like eat, like take bowl. And this is also another thing. If you're just eating like a plain Lay's potato chip.
Yeah.
With no dip offered or like no dip.
Wacko.
See, that one was kind of weird because like I've never done it. And like, I don't think anyone has ever presented like just plain potato chips at a party without the dip, like at least a French onion dip to go with it.
Sure.
But like if they're like people that just eat the yellow bag Lay's potato chips.
It's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah.
All right, Cody. Number one sit-em, Super Bowl.
This is kind of a no-brainer for me. Anytime anyone shows up to a Super Bowl party with a vegetable tray.
Number one. Was that your number one?
No.
Yeah, that's mine too. It's just like, that's a
what
waste.
What are we doing
it's
here?
It's a waste for the guest. It's a waste for you.
Yeah.
Like, you just spent $20, $30 on something no one will touch. Like, there's
no one's going to touch it.
And you know what it is? And this is, I hope this isn't sexist. The only people that are going to eat it, if it's like a bunch of couples Super Bowl party, because like the only way a veggie tray is making it in there, if it's a girl is coming. The girl buys the veggie tray, and the only other person that eats the veggie tray are the other girlfriends or significant others or wives. And they do it not because they want to. They do it out of pity because they know that the other girl bought it and like thought that it was a good idea to like try to be like moderately healthy. But guess what? Like, not what this day is about.
Yeah, I mean, I'll eat a carrot in between wings or something, but I'll say the meat and cheese tray, the lazy meat and cheese tray for the boyfriend. The veggie tray is the girl equivalent.
Yeah. But usually, like, the veggie tray is worse because, like, that is store-bought.
Yeah.
Like, it's just coming like it is.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's just like, why? Like, just don't do it.
Yeah, you're just wasting your money.
Yeah.
My number one, we've already talked about chips. I hate this chip. I don't need it. It's the worst setting and the worst chip. Don't bring it. Sour cream and onion chips. I don't want to see it. It's just a waste of counter space.
Oh, the green bag?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you. Cheddar.
Stop.
Cheddar sour cream? The baked ones? Bring them.
Whatever, dude.
Keep the rest at home. Very anticlimactic last pick. I just have my own vendetta against sour cream and onion chips.
Thoughts, Cody?
I like them. I don't mind them. If I see, let's say there's three chips there, you got, you know, they're up there in terms of like chips I'm not going to eat at a Super Bowl with like the regular Lay's. Like, I don't think you should be bringing that. You bring a bag of Doritos, you know, like that's what you bring. Like,
I think,
you don't know what to get.
I think
a couple bags of nacho cheese Doritos.
I think as a society, we are advanced enough to where if you're going to a party, don't buy any original Lay's chips.
Yeah.
Stay away from the yellow bag, the green bag, and the barbecue black bag.
Yeah, the barbecue are gross. And I think it's just a thing where it's like, it's just, the green ones piss me off so much. It's like an inconvenience where it's like, you could have had another good chip.
The only time I really ever want to have one of those OG bags is when I go to a basketball game in Hankinson and order a hot dog with like the Diet Coke and the $5 meal, and then they give me a bag of chips.
Or like if you're at the lake and it's 97 degrees outside and you walk off from the pontoon after. Yeah.
Like a Sam's Club variety pack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us your
last one. But it's like if you're going to bring chips, like the safe choice is always just nacho cheese Doritos because who doesn't love that?
Correct. Yeah, you can't go wrong. And if you do one of each, the two main ones, you go nacho cheese and Cool Ranch. No, you please
bases
everybody
over. Yeah, bases are covered.
Yeah.
The only way I want like a regular potato chip is if it's the Lay's wavy, the red bag, and if it's included with a dip. You have to have a dip.
Yeah, that doesn't count. Though. And it should be French chips.
Okay, whatever. Shut up.
Cody,
who's winning the Super Bowl?
Doritos.
Can you give us that opinion?
You still have another sit.
No, I was veggie tray.
Oh, okay. Yeah, who's winning the Super Bowl?
I think the Eagles got it. I think their O-line is just too good.
Carter made you say that.
I hate it. Like, if you know me and you know Carter, you know how much it pains me to say that. But I think the Eagles, I think they're rolling. And I think it's tough to pick against them right now.
I agree with you. I think it's just a matchup nightmare for the Chiefs, where I think that Eagles defense can get stops, and I don't know how many stops that Chiefs defense is going to get.
Right.
31-27 Eagles.
Yeah, I got Eagles by 7.
I'll take the Chiefs by 10.
You're an idiot.
Wow.
Kiss of death for the Chiefs right there.
Yeah, I have PTSD from what the Chiefs has done to the Chargers the last 6 years.
Don't laugh like that, Cody.
Yeah, that was evil. What the hell?
Oh, Cody, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you coming on and chatting for an hour and a half. You're very generous with your time. It's always good catching up, buddy. We're very excited for you the next couple months, and we'll be rooting for you harder than anybody else going forward after that when you find your new home.
Yeah, thanks so much. We could have done this for 6 hours, and we would have been just fine. So, no, it was good talking to you guys. You can appreciate it.
We'll reach out. We'll be in touch, and we'll have you back on after Indy.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you.